I love it when a song really, really hits you in a place where you're at. So many things in the world, isn't it? They're just trying to take away the truth of who God is, that God is worthy to be praised and blessed in the midst of all different situations. We talked about last week how our enemy, our true enemy, is the one who wants to come and destroy the unity and the peace that we have with God. And today we're going to see that he comes and wants to destroy the peace that we have with God, not only that, but with others around us. And we'll see that a little bit today. But he's out just to try to take our eyes and our focus off of the true reality that God is great and he's wonderful and he's loving and he's compassionate, worthy of all praise. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you so much that we can come into your presence right now and just soak you in, Lord. Lord, I thank you that you minister to us in the midst of our pain and our sorrow and our hurt. But Lord, you are continually there walking with us. You are so good. You are so great. Lord, help us to see you. Help us to know you intimately. In Jesus' name, amen. We have, if you'd like to stand and read with me, the scripture that we'll be going through today is in Genesis 4. You might have, with the bulletins, got a scripture sheet. Put them in order if you want to follow through a scripture that we'll be going through this morning. We're in Genesis 4, 1, and we'll read through 1 through 16. Be with our main passage, which we'll begin today. And it says, Now the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, I have gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord. And again she gave birth to his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper for the flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So it came about on the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord and the fruit of the ground, and Abel on his part also brought the firstlings of his flock and their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering, but for Cain and for his offering he had no regard. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. And then the Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? If you do not do well, sin is crouching at your door, and its desire is for you. You must master it. Cain told Abel his brother, and it came about that when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, Where is Abel your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? He said, What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. Now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened his mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you cultivate the ground, it will no longer yield its strength to you. You will be a vagrant and a wanderer in the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, My punishment is too great to bear. Behold, you have driven me this day from the face of the ground. From your face I have been hidden, and I will be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. So the Lord said to him, Therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance will be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord appointed a sign for Cain so that no one finding him would slay him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. You may be seated. Lord, we thank you for your word today. Lord, may you impress upon our hearts what you desire for us to know and learn today. We talked about Satan last week, the great deceiver, how he deceived Eve and Adam to take what was good, the tree of good and evil, and what was created good, and they used it for something that was not good. And it was disobedience to God. But God said, I'm going to make a way, and I'm going to reestablish this relationship, and it's going to be through Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, coming. And he was going to make a way to bridge this gap of broken unity that Adam and Eve willingly chose to break. And that unity is going to come with a choice to accept Jesus as Savior and Lord in their lives. And if you have chosen Jesus as your Savior and Lord in your life, you have already begun the process of that unity that God has created in the beginning to be in a relationship with Him, that you can talk and walk in daily life with Him every single moment. That's just the truth of the reality of what God has established for us. Unity with God is a choice each one of us make every single day, every single moment of the day. It's a choice that we have. And there's also that unity of choice is between each one of us as well. I have a choice to make unity with God, being at peace with Him, following Him, walking with Him daily. But then I have a choice to be unified with you as well. I have a choice to walk with acceptance, walk with companionship with you. And but we see that unity is a choice to be made. We're going to look at the relationship between Cain and Abel and see the falling effects of what sin does. There's this brokenness in that relationship that God had in the beginning, and it has started to trickle down into the next generation of Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel. And hopefully today, as we look through this, we're going to see some of this pattern. And you will see this throughout different scripture relationships and situations. You'll see the same pattern. Not listening or obeying God leads to affecting relationships of those around you. So if I have decided to not obey God in a situation or walk with Him the way He desires for us to walk with Him, and as He's talking with me throughout the day, if I decide not to do what He desires, that is going to affect every single relationship that I'm going to be a part of. Every single one of them. Can't get away from it. It can't happen. If it's I'm going to seclude myself from people, I'm going to affect, and God say, no, I want you to be with people, then I'm going to affect everybody that I'm not there with. I'm going to affect them by not being there with them. If it is speaking love to people, encouragement, and I know I don't want to speak encouragement because I don't like that person, so I'm not going to speak encouragement to that person, then I'm affecting that relationship, and I'm choosing not to be in peace and unity with that person because I am choosing to walk away and be apart. So I affect that person. Or if I choose to say things that are negative and things that are hurtful, then I am being very proactive in being destructive in breaking unity. So, and all those are going to stem from my relationship with God. I'm either going to listen to Him or I'm not. And we're going to see that in every relationship, every situation that we see in Scripture, it's what it looks like. And we're going to see this with Cain and Abel's situation. Because jealousy, in this case, for Cain, it's going to be a unity breaker. It's going to break it. And consequences for sin have different effects, don't they? Some are drastic, some are not so drastic, at least in our eyes. But in God's eyes, they're all very drastic. They're all equally the same being drastic because they break a relationship, a unity with Him in first and foremost. We just don't see it as much in that spiritual realm. But in this case, we're going to see this with Adam, with Cain and Abel. We're going to see the destructive nature because one person is going to die in this case, physically. But possibly two people are going to be dead in this case because Cain could spiritually be dead because he's walking in disobedience with God. But we don't see that one as much and as clear, at least in the physical realm. But let's start in Genesis 1, we'll go right in the beginning there. And now a man had relations with his wife and Eve, and they gave birth to a son, and they named him Cain, and gave a birth to another one, and named Abel. But they gave praise to the Lord, because Eve says, I have gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord. Remember, childbearing was going to be really painful. When things are painful, where do we go? Who do we depend on? Do we try to do things on our own, or do we go to God and ask Him for help? Well, in this case, Eve says, God help me give birth. First time ever. Wow. This is amazing. This was hurtful, painful, but God helped me through it. And He gave me a helper, and He gave me another son as well. And they're gonna be helping us. One tends the flock, one tills the ground. They're helpers. So, but this goes back into Genesis 1:27. God created man in his own image. And in the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and he said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. So that was one of the commandments that he gave, is to be fruitful and multiply. So they're being obedient to God and multiplying the earth and being fruitful, and yet giving God praise and honor because he's helped them in the midst of their sinful choice prior to. They still see the hand of God working in their lives. So as an encouragement to us, if you've made a bad choice in the past, maybe you've made a bad choice this morning, God still wants to work in the midst of your life today. Give him honor and praise when you see it happen. And in verse 3 in chapter 4, so it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord, the fruit of the ground. And Abel, on his part, also brought the firstlings of his flock and the fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering. But for Cain and for his offering, he had no regard. So Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. Now, there's a whole bunch of information we could go in this passage. There's so many different elements to this passage that we could really dive into, but I really want to focus more so on the relationship aspect between Cain and God and Cain and Abel is what we really want to focus on today. But just a little bit of a background. We're not sure how much time passed when this situation that we're going to be looking at. We do know that Adam was 130 years old when Seth was born, and that was after the death of Abel. So we know it's somewhere in between that amount of time. We know that Cain was older than Abel because he was mentioned first. How much older? Don't know. Don't know how much older. Could have been couple years, could have been multiple years, just not really sure. But a fun thought is that there's estimated that there were about 35,000 people, and this is a conservative view, 35,000 people around the time of this event would have taken place, already populating the earth by Adam and Eve. So a bunch of brothers and sisters running around and populating, and at that point sisters and brothers marrying was not an issue. With the gene pool, that would have been very, very pure at that point. And then later God would say, we're going to take a little bit change of direction there. But Cain became very angry, God's reaction towards him, because he was rejected. He was rejected by God. Do you feel like you're rejected by God sometimes? God just doesn't like me. He doesn't like who I am, what I do, how I do. What he doesn't like the things that I offer to him. And I do my best to give God my best, but he just doesn't receive it. He doesn't like it. But God's reaction to Abel was very favorable. He was acceptable. And we look in Rome in Hebrews 11. It says, Cain's offering, by faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain. Though which he obtained the testimony that was righteous, and God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. There's this element. We don't, at this point in time, we don't know if God had already established you need to have a sacrificial system, because God apparently killed some animals and gave them clothes for Adam and Eve after the sin. We don't know if God set up something like that. The scripture doesn't really tell us. But we do know that they brought something to God. What they felt was something that they wanted to offer to God. And Cain, he tilled the ground, so he brought some grain and brought some things that he helped raise. And Abel brought what he does and brought his work to God and said, here it is. This is what I'm going to give to you. But the more important question is that we see from Hebrews 11 that we get a little bit better insight is that Abel brought it with this element of faith. That whatever I bring to God, I'm bringing it to him because he is going to accept it because I'm giving it to him. This is his, and I have this relationship with God that's a friendship. God's going to receive me. In James 2:23, the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. Abraham had faith that when he spoke with God, God called him his friend, because it wasn't Abraham's righteousness that God liked him. It wasn't because he was so great that he was like, hey, I like you, and I don't like you too much, so I'm going to pick that one, and you're going to be my friend, but not you. It wasn't that. He believed God, and it was considered righteous. He was considered a friend of God because he believed. So we see this kind of this element for Abel, that he had this friendship with God because he believed what God said. When I come to God, he's going to bless me, because he's a blesser. He's gracious and he's compassionate. And he could have killed my mom and dad and started completely over, but he didn't, and I'm here because of that. He's a gracious God. Yeah, we got some consequences that we have to deal with, but he's so gracious. We don't see this or get this feeling from Cain, where, I don't know, maybe speculation, maybe he brought this out. Oh, maybe this is better than his. You should like it. Maybe. Maybe, hey, I don't know if God's really going to accept this because I did this and I work here. God, here, have you go. Oh, man, he likes my brothers better. Man, this makes me so mad. I worked so hard for this. This was so good. Why, that was no... Mine is no different than his. I brought it. It was my work too. Come on. And he gets angry. He just gets angry with God about this. So, how do we handle when God is upset with us? What do we do? Do we go to God about it? Do we handle situations differently because we're tense and upset? Because we find here in this, at least in this relationship, and maybe we can relate this to ours, that when I'm not at peace with God, it affects everything around me. Everything around me. How I handle, how I respond to situations, it affects how I think. And we're going to see that Cain's relationship with his brother was affected in a major way because he's upset with God. And he's outwardly putting his being upset with God and focusing it on his brother, because it's really not his brother he looked and said, God rejected me, my brother's fault. Is that logical? Absolutely not, but that's what sin does. Do you think the deceiver was a part of this somewhere? Or did he go off somewhere and it's like, hey, he talked to Adam and Eve and he's gone from the world? No, the evil one is around. He's roaming the world trying to see who he can deceive. Do you think he was at work with Cain trying to deceive him? Yeah, your brothers, man, you got to take care of him. I don't know what God's problem is with you. You got to make this right. You got to get some vengeance. You got to put your brother in his place. I could see a dialogue with something like that happening. Because when I'm at my own vulnerable spots, I can be influenced. When I'm not at peace with God, I can be influenced. It could be somebody speaking to me. It could be the thoughts that I'm having. And I know there's a spiritual battle that's taking place. So I know those thoughts can be imposed upon me, but I have a choice to listen. I have a choice to follow. Who do I follow and why do I follow? And where do I go? So we see that Cain is upset. But we see this, and he doesn't go to God and is upset. He's not going to God, but look at the grace and the beauty of God. If you're upset today about a situation in your life, watch, well, this is what God does. And then the Lord said to Cain, he came to Cain. God knows, hey, if I don't intervene here, he's going down a road that's going to lead him so far away from me that he will have no opportunity to want to even have a relationship with me. So God comes to Cain. Has God ever done that in your life where he's come to you when you're like, I don't want to talk to you, God, and he brings somebody in your life? That's just not happenstance. That is God moving in somebody's life to give you a call, to send you a letter, to knock at your door unexpectedly. A song might happen on the radio and something really stands out. Something God is speaking to you and wanting to catch your attention. So that's what he's doing here with Cain. He says, why are you angry? Why has your countenance fell? God knows the answer, doesn't he already? He does. But he wants us to realize the answer. Because there's a lot of freedom when I realize, oh yeah, I'm upset. Really, it's me I'm upset with. It's really not you, God. It's really not my brother. It's really me. So he asks the question, why? To lead him in the right direction. If you do well, your countenance will be lifted up. He's given that direction. You're not doing well right now. Your choices are not good. Turn from the choices you're making. If you do not do well, sin is crouching at your door, and its desire is for you, so you must master it. If I continue to choose to do wrong or continue to choose to go away from God's help, sin is going to be right there to devour me. So God has left, but notice here that God isn't saying, I'm going to make you not do that sin. The beauty of God's relationship with us is that he says, I will give you a choice. I will show you. I will teach you. I will share with you. But it's your choice if you're going to commit that sin. I'm not making you do that. You're choosing to do it. But I am here with you to walk with you through it. Will you let me do that? That's God meets him there. And what we see is that Cain really doesn't want that. But I'm encouraged by John 16, 7 and 8. He says that Jesus is talking. He says, but I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. God says he's going to send the helper, the comforter. The word comfort in the Greek means to walk alongside with. Right there. Comforter is one who's going to walk right alongside me every step of the way. He's going to help me along the way. I can choose to listen to him or I can choose not to. If I choose to listen to him, he becomes my Lord. And I walk with him daily. If I choose not to listen to him, then he becomes something other than a helper and a Lord. And sin is going to be crouching at my doorstep because I'm going to be walking away from him in hearing his voice. So when God reaches out to us, do we reach back? Do we acknowledge him? Do we seek his guidance? Do we listen for his guidance when he speaks to us? Because we can see that Cain is not wanting that. And he's going to be overtaken. We also saw last week that Adam and Eve, they didn't ask for God's help when they were tempted by Satan. They didn't ask for his help. They thought they could figure it out by themselves. And they chose to make some of their own decisions that was in disobedience. So when we come to a crossroad where there is a challenge, there is a hurt, there is a rejection in Cain's case. How do we go to God, one, and do we ask him for the help? And when God comes to us, do I turn to him? Do we ask him for help? Extremely important. Because the help says, God, I can't do this life on my own. I need you to help me make a decision. And it's hard for us in our society, and it's just the world in general, to say, you know, I should be able to think for myself and make my own decisions. I should be able to do that because I'm a human being, and at least I have a mind that works in my case. So I should be able to make some own decisions. But in God's way is, I'm going to help you make your decisions. I'm going to help you. You need my help to make these because sin has turned things, and I want to turn them right again. So you need my help to make the right decisions. And I will show you what that is. And he gives us a whole bunch of scripture that we can look at and read and know this is what's good in God's eyes. And if I choose not to follow that, hey, that's just on me. Sin is crouching at my door. But when I walk in obedience with him, it's a different story. I will find victory, and I will find life, and I will find joy in the midst of daily sorrows. In 1 Corinthians 10, no temptation has overtaken you by such as common to man, but God is faithful, and he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation he will provide a way of escape also so that you'll be able to endure it. That's what God's doing for Cain. He's saying, hey, you're going to be overtaken. I'm going to give you a way of escape. Don't let what your heart is thinking right now, don't continue it. Don't let sin be born in your life where you're going to do something you're going to regret later, and my consequences will have to come down. Don't let it happen. But the choice is mine, to listen to God or to disregard it. 1 Corinthians 2 says, for God revealed to them through the Spirit that the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Going down, who even knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit? And who is taught by the Spirit? And then in verse 16, but we have the mind of Christ. I need the Spirit of God in my life to teach me and to show me what is good and what is right, where my heart is really at. Am I walking away for my own desires and my flesh right here? God, I need you to show me that right now at the very beginning parts. Not when I'm already made my choices and I'm down here going, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Oh, I hurt that person. Man, I shouldn't have said those things. Oh, I really should have followed. I should have went to that person's house, or I should have done this. Not at the end. God in his Spirit is saying, I'm going to teach you right now before you even start to walk away from me. When you first got that inkling, because your flesh is still fighting, isn't it? That first little inkling, you're going the wrong direction. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you for showing me that. Thank you. Sometimes we feel defeated. We feel like, ah, man, I'm a loser. I'm a loser Christian. I just do the wrong things all the time. What a praise that you see it. What a praise you see it. Because if you see it, you have something of a relationship with God that says, oh, that's sin in my life. That needs to go. God, I need your help to get it out of my life. Isn't that a beautiful thing? But Satan says, no, beat yourself up. Beat yourself up. You're such a loser. You're such a loser. You shouldn't even get involved in anything in church. You shouldn't even go talk to people about Jesus because, man, you can't even do it. Bingo, that's me. I can't do it. That's the whole point. God comes to Cain and says, you cannot do this on your own. You need me to walk with you in this. Cain chooses not to respond to God. You notice that? He responds not to God, but he goes and he talks in the next verse to his brother. He's still not at peace with God, so now he's going to go talk with other people. You ever been there? I'm upset with God, but yeah, I'll tell you when I'm upset with God. And guess what? It doesn't say, let's just jump back here a little bit. So in verse 8, Cain told his brother, and it came about when they were in the field, Cain rose up and killed his brother. Rose up against his brother and killed him. Now it doesn't say what their interactions were and how he spoke and what Abel even said. You know, maybe Abel was like, yeah, right. Yeah, listen to God because you're not listening to him now. It might have been a bad interaction. Or Abel might have been like, okay, brother, I understand. I'm here to help you. I don't know what Abel said. I'll get to talk to him one day. What did you say down there? What was it that rose up such anger in Cain? Did you guys have a good dialogue? Or was it just like you guys were arguing back, bantering back and forth, and he just got sick of it? It doesn't matter how Abel responded. It matters how I respond to situations. Because the focus is on Cain. Sin is at your doorstep. It's going to be birthed in your life. If I take that and I'm not at peace with God and I go out, sin will be birthed in my relationships. I will destroy and I will push people away and I will break them. Because that's just what sin does in my life. So God is saying, hey, talk to me. Let me help you through this. Make peace with me and then we'll walk through this together. And the anger will dissipate. So we see this first act of killing, of a physical killing. But the first act of death was when Adam and Eve disobeyed. And this is just a byproduct of the first one. It's a continuation of what sin does. It's powerful, guys. It's powerful. It overtakes the flesh very easily. So easily. Satan is strong. He's way stronger than I am. Way could easily overtake me. I can't fight against him. That's God's point. Cain, you need me. Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead to cover my weakness, to give me the helper to help me walk through in power, overcoming that sin that so easily wants to entangle us and so easily wants to crush us. He gives us the power through his Spirit. It's a very strong thing, sin is, but God is so much stronger. I don't care what struggle you have in your life right now that you're dealing with, that you think, there's no way I can get over this. You're right, you can't get over it. There's no question, you cannot get over that. That struggle that you're going through, it is yours for a lifetime until you let Jesus take it over. And when you let Jesus take it over, he is going to show you and take you from one place and take you to the other. And he's going to say, this is what I've done in your life. This is my miracle in your life. This is what I do in people's lives. Do you see what I do? Do you see what I do? Do you see what I do? This is nothing about you. This is everything that I've done in your life. That's when you find victory. That's when you know I'm not addicted to sexual sins anymore. That's not when I'm not addicted to greediness anymore. I'm not addicted to pride anymore. I'm not addicted to getting things anymore and self-protection. I'm not addicted to those things anymore because Jesus has transformed my life and has taken me from one place to another, and it's him that does it in our lives. Can I hear an amen? Can I hear another one? Praise God. That's what he does. When sin first takes its first grip that it wants to take, in Matthew 5, it says this. You've heard the angels told you should not murder. Now I'm sure they're thinking about Cain killing his brother. But whoever commits murder is liable in the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother, just angry, guys. Has anybody ever been angry with somebody? All right. Angry, you're liable to the courts. And shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing. Has anybody ever said something nasty to somebody? Okay. There's only a few of you out there. Shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says, you fool. Has anybody ever said that to somebody? I'm the only two of us. He shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. That's me. I'm guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. Therefore, if you are presenting your offering before the altar, remember that you have your brother has something against you. Leave your offering, go before the altar, go and reconcile yourself. Peace is more important than anything else. But what I want to point out here is that murder is that act, is that action. It's like, okay, I'm thinking about it. Here's the murder. It's right here. It's done. Ooh, I can see it. But the Spirit of God wants to say, okay, you're starting to, you got the feeling of murder in your heart. God, I'm so sorry. That's where he wants us to be. I'm so sorry, God. Take that out of me. Take that anger that I have for somebody. Take it out because I don't want to do that eventually. Do you ever hear about the people like they just flipped out and they killed somebody? Okay. Because they're dealing with anger, 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 anger. I'm so angry, and it happens. Here's one. That person upset me. That person upset me. That person upset me. God's saying why? I haven't taken to God yet. This person upset me. Upset me. You know that person over there? They really. Think they're really like they love God that much. I don't think they really love God that much. I think they're not that as nice as you think they are because they're really, they fool people pretty well. That one right there. sins born in my life, because God is saying right here, okay, you're not at peace with somebody, bring that to me. Let me be the God and judge in their life. Let me be the one, let me change and transform your heart, move your heart to this point right here when the flesh says, I'm upset. This is where God wants us to be. He doesn't want us to move that way and move that way, angrier and angrier, because at some point in time in that process, we're going to see our sin revealed in destruction and brokenness of unity. We're going to see it amongst us, amongst our families, amongst people outside, amongst our workplace. But when those who are walking with Jesus and say, God, sin is ugly. Sin is so ugly, I don't want the thought of sin in my life. I don't want the thought of it. God, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry. If I have to say sorry all day long, isn't it worth it? It's worth it. God, I'm sorry. I need your help. I need you to take this out of me. I need you to move my heart in a place that is at peace with how you're handling the situation, that I will be okay with it. Isn't that really where it's at? God, I don't think you handle it right, so I need to go and say something about somebody. I need to go kill that person. I need to go get that thing that I want. I need to, you fill it in. But it's God, I don't think how you're handling it's the right way. But do we go to God to let him change our hearts? Because in Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another, forgiving each other, if anyone has a complaint, just as the Lord has forgiven you. When I realize the grace I've been saved from, it's going to be so much easier to give grace to somebody else. Even if they've never said I'm sorry. Even if they continue doing the nasty things that they continued in the past. If I know the grace that I've been saved from, the grace that's been poured upon me, I'm going to be able to say, oh, God, I just hurt for them. Not, I'm so angry at them, because I see me. I see me and who I am. And God has shown me that he's taken me from somebody who doesn't deserve life, and he's given me life. And God will be the judge, and I'll let him be that judge on that person. So, we jump down to God confronting Cain, and he says, the Lord said to Cain, where's your brother? And he said to him, I don't know. Why am I my brother's keeper? Cain's response is kind of callous. The I don't care mentality is just whatever. There's a rejection of God because I could care less. Isn't that what sin does? It just hardens our hearts to situations and to God and responding to him. It wouldn't have been great if Cain said, you know what, I killed him. I'm so sorry. You're right, God. Sin grew, and it was at my doorstep, and it just overtook me. Wouldn't that have been a great response? That'd be beautiful, wouldn't it? Do we do that? Isn't that what our responses should be? When I'm caught in a sin, when God reveals it to me, because that's the beauty of our relationship. He reveals what's bad in me so he can take it away, so I don't have to struggle with that anymore. So God's punishment, because nothing goes unnoticed by God. He says, the curse of the ground has opened its mouth. Why do we even lie to God? I think it's really interesting when we can fool each other, and it doesn't. We can fool each other totally. But you cannot fool God. He knows exactly what your heart's thinking, what your mind thinks, and what you do behind closed doors. He knows everything. And he says, his punishment, when you cultivate the ground, it will no longer yield its fruit and strength to you. You're going to be a wanderer. It's almost like a double punishment for Cain, because there's already punishment in Genesis 3 that God says in verse 17, cursed is the ground because of you, in toil you'll eat it all the days of your life. So he's already got toil, hard work on the ground, and then now that's no longer going to yield its strength to Cain, and that's what he was. He identified himself in as a worker of the field. That's what I do. That's what I've been doing all my life. And now that's not going to be a good, prosperous job anymore for him. is like a double extended curse for him. And then Cain's response is, Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is too great to bear. Behold, you have driven me this day from the face of the ground, and your faces will be hidden, and I will be a vagrant or a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me, he's going to kill me." But we're going to see God's mercy in his life. And he said to the Lord, he said, "Whoever kills Cain, vengeance will be on him seven times." Because God sees with the eternal perspective. The murder of that person, his brother, did not damn him to hell. That wasn't what did it. We see in John 5:16, the sin that leads to death. If anyone sees his brother committing sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will forgive him for those who committed sin not leading to death. But there is a sin leading to death, and I do not say that he is making a request for this. And in Luke 12, anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it'll be forgiven him, but who blasphemes the Holy Spirit, that's not going to be forgiven to him. Cain killed his brother. It's just like any other sin that we're going to commit, any other one. Lying, stealing, talking bad about somebody, gossip, whatever it is. That's not going to be eternal damnation for us. It's rejection of God in our lives. It's rejection of the Holy Spirit moving and saying, "Yeah, the Holy Spirit's speaking to me, but I do not want to listen to you, so I'm going to do my own thing." Be careful if you walk that way. Be careful if you walk that way. Because if you reject God and his speaking and movement in your life, when he is very clear with you, be careful. You can run to him or you can run away from him. So God sees Cain and he says, "My great mercy on you. I'm still giving you hope for a future." Because Cain knew that from Eve's seed, or Adam's seed, that there would be a baby born from the line, from the human line, that was going to overtake the enemy and was going to stomp on the serpent's head and give victory over death. He knew this. They anticipated this. So he gives them that anticipation of a hope of the future still. He just doesn't write them off and say, "You're done. You killed my righteous one. You're done." Isn't that a great merciful God that he is? Even in killing his creation, he still says, "I still love you, and I want to give you an opportunity." Isaiah 53, this anticipation that we would find, that we would hear later, that he was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and one like whom men hid their face, and he was despised, and he was not esteemed. We did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows carried. We ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And this is about prophecy of the Messiah, the Savior, the one that was prophesied in Genesis 1, or 2, 3, Genesis 3, of crushing the serpent's head. "For he was pierced for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities." Cain, this is what the Messiah is going to do for you. He's going to take this. "And chastising for our well-being fell upon him, and he was, by his scourgings we were healed." My sin placed upon the Savior. All of us like sheep have gone astray, but he has turned each one to his own. Each one of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of all of us to fall on him. It doesn't matter what direction you're going, God has caused the iniquity to fall, your sin to fall on him. He has atoned for your sickness, for the actions of sin that have risen in your lives. He has covered that. He knew that's what he was going to be doing for Cain, giving him opportunity and choice of life. Would Cain turn to God? I don't know. I know he went to another land, created another city, took a wife with him, took his wife, and they started another place in another city. We don't hear anything about Cain anymore. I don't hear that he said, "You know, God spared my life, children. God gave me a new place. It was hard. I had consequences for what I did, but God is so merciful and great. He could have destroyed me then, but he didn't." We don't hear those words. We don't see that in Scripture. So we could only speculate. I hope he did. I hope I do see him in heaven. I hope he and his brothers are next door neighbors and they're worshiping God together. I hope that the mercy that Cain received from God, he realized it. That God is good. He's merciful and kind. So, as we close today, how do you handle God's correction in your life? What do you do? Do you turn a deaf ear to Him and go to others? Do you say, thank you for showing me that? Thank you for caring about me enough to showing me my wrongness. Lord, I need you to make it right. Well, I want to encourage you that the latter is the best. Just acknowledge it. Walk with Him and let Him take you. May we be willing to let God take us in the direction He wants to take us, in a deeper relationship with Him as God speaks to us. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for your word and for examples that you give us through Scripture that encourage us along the way of your goodness, your faithfulness, your kindness, your mercy and your grace. Lord, to see such a devastating outcome of what Cain did to his brother Abel, Lord, that is no different than the outcome of a thought in my heart, you say. It's the exact same death and destruction that it brings. Lord, as you show us this week, today, when our flesh desires just that inkling little bit of walking away from you and desire pleasing ourselves, that we acknowledge it, Lord. We hear your voice, and as you say, you're walking away right now. You're choosing yourself. That we say, thank you, Lord. Transform it. Transform what I'm doing. Make my heart right. Turn it to you, Lord. Give me peace. Lord, whatever it is for us, Lord, may we turn to you and ask you for help. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.